Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Deborah Frances White, and this is the new normal. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, I'm excited to begin when a few people have tuned in. Here we go. Here they come. Some of you tuned in earlier because you saw we'd gone live early and you thought, what? But we're just doing a technical run with Juliet Stevenson to make sure it all worked because her internet has gone down. So she's 4G-ing it up right nice. Yes, that's right. Today, my guest on The New Normal is literally Juliet Stevenson. I'm Deborah Frances White. Welcome to The New Normal. Let's see if Juliet is there. Here we go. She's not there yet, but I feel fairly strongly she's going to pop up at any moment. In the meantime, the programme is, as always, sponsored by Diet Coke. They don't know that yet, but I am actually drinking a lot of Diet Coke to get me through the quarantine. And I feel if they gave me £10,000, feminists everywhere would think that was pretty cool. And so, you know, that's a drop in the ocean for them. I'm hoping someone who works for Diet Coke will show them this and they will, as a joke, give me £10,000. That's my deep hope for this show. Hold on. Let's see if Juliet's there now. Not there yet, but I'm fairly sure she's going to pop up at any moment. At any point, Diet Coke, if you want to give me £10,000 as a joke, because it would make a great news story, they'd be like, oh, she just had this Instagram live show. And she talked about Diet Coke and loads of feminists are being fueled on Diet Coke at the moment. And she kept saying she wanted £10,000. They just went, do you know what? That's fine. That's fine. It's a quarantine. We'll give her £10,000 to fund her show. I feel like that's going to happen any minute now. Let's just see if Juliet's there on my go live with function. No Juliet Stevenson yet. But I have a very good feeling that she's going to pop up as we did our tech run at 5:30. Simply Nude bars as well. Is it Simply Nude? My Simply Nude bars. I'm just looking over at them. I'm also hoping that they sponsor me, but they don't have the kind of money that Diet Coke has. So I would settle for a free box of Simply Nude bars, to be honest. Yeah, it's a joke. Give me £10,000 as a joke, please, Diet Coke. I mean, for Diet Coke, that is like me finding 20p down the side of this chair and going, do you want it? It's no more than a 20p back of the chair find for Diet Coke. Let's see if Juliet's there now. Let's see. Nope, no Juliet. Ah, here she is. I'm adding Juliet. 4, 3.
And?
It's literally Juliet Stevenson.
Right.
Hello, and welcome to the new normal. How exciting to have you on.
I'm so excited to be on. This is my virgin arrival on Instagram Live. I've never done it before.
Wow. You're clearly trying to get sponsorship from Virgin. I've just been trying to get sponsorship from Diet Coke. I mention them every day. I say it's sponsored by Diet Coke. I drink a Diet Coke through the show. And I'm hoping that as a joke, they'll give me £10,000. I mean, this is, we've got to hustle now. You never saw me doing this in the old days, did you?
Yes,
I was dignified.
You were never dignified.
I was so dignified. All I did was take a reasonable ticket price for a show. I never once sought a sponsor. Now my whole life is just like, yep, I'll take a sponsor. I'll absolutely take anything you want me to advertise, Juliet. I'm there. Right there.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Do you have a sponsor through the quarantine? You're doing lots of wonderful things.
No, but I'm looking for loads of sponsors because I don't know about everybody else, but I am quarantining. Well, I'm out in the country. We're in East Anglia because my husband is very immune compromised, and has asthma, and so he has to stay right away from coronavirus. So quite early on, we came up here, and so we're in the middle of the countryside, and I started to go completely bonkers, not being in the thick of it. I realised that when stuff's going on, you know, we talked about
you want to be there, heart of the action.
I really, really want to be there. And actually, I go a bit, I mean, I realised, I've learned a lot. I don't know how anybody else listening or watching this has found this, but I think I'm learning quite a lot about myself and relationships in this period. And I suppose it's because we don't have our usual structures and systems. Mm. And when you take all our usual structures and systems away, you're very much sort of up against yourself. You think, oh, hello, I appear not to be somebody who's capable of creating my own daily schedule. Oh, that's a bit embarrassing. Or, you know, I'm not quite as disciplined as I thought. What's all this getting up at 11 a.m.? Anyway, so I've had to really, really work on that. But one of the things I've discovered about myself is that I just can't bear not being in the middle of all that amazing community stuff, you know, going around taking food to the elderly or to the marginalised or the lonely, all those. I mean, I really want to be in amongst a team of people doing that, and I can't be. So then I just got going online, you know, and just been doing lots of fundraising for the refugee charities I support, and who they really, really are up against it. I mean, people who don't have any homes anyway. So the concept of, you know, stay safe, stay home, when you don't have a home to stay safe in. So I have been doing that, but that's meant in turn lots and lots of you know, time struggling with internet issues, and but I'm learning a lot about all that, so that's good.
Yes, I mean, this 2020 is a year of learning, isn't it? It really is a year of looking in the mirror, stopping, being forced to look in the mirror. The whole world is being forced to look in a mirror and slow down. And it's so interesting because it's really on a completely personal level, on a community level, on a global level.
Yeah.
It really feels like it's a time. You know, there's a Chinese curse, which is may you live in interesting times.
Yes.
We do.
And I think, I mean, again, I'd love to know what everybody else watching this thinks, but I think, you know, instinctively, we all long to get back to the way things were, because when things come back to normal, or when we get back to the usual way of doing stuff, or, and I have this slightly sort of uneasy, but partly uneasy, partly excited feeling that actually we're not going to go back. It's going to go on. We're going on. We're going forward. But it won't quite be the same. And what will that mean? And will we have that? You know, will we be able to take what we've learned from this period into the future? Or not. And that's absolutely, as you say, whether that's personally or globally or as a community, you know, are we going to stay in touch with our neighbours? Are we going to hang on to this community spirit that we found in this time, if we did find it? You know, I'm sure people are loving that. You know, I'm hoping there are people all over the country who've never stood and talked to their neighbours on their doorsteps, or ever come out of, you know, on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock and clapped and sang and banged pots together for something. And I'm just hoping that some of that can you know, thread through into the life we move into when this is all over.
You're answering so many of my questions without me having to ask them, Juliet. You're a wonder. Do you have any personal coping strategies for emotional and mental stability during the, because you're in the country, as you say, you're quite, you know, I know you do like the country, but you are at heart a city creature, a creature who wants to be in, as you say, with your community, doing. Have you got any strategies that have worked for you? You don't have to have any. You could just say, no, I've got nothing. But no, if you have any.
Alcohol is working well for me.
recommended, kids. Order some wine if you can get it delivered.
You know what? I'm a beer girl, actually. I'm a cheap date. So, joking apart, although that's not exactly a joke.
Do you know, Juliet, Tom and I used to be quite smug about, oh, we just don't really drink in the week. We don't think about it. We would drink with friends, but on a Wednesday night, we would never think about it. So many of my friends in London would polish off a bottle of wine at night. But we just don't think about drink. We're just not big drinkers. We just don't, Tom and I. We're just not big drinkers. Cut to quarantine. It's like 5:30. I'm like, could you think it's early? I think it's late enough to drink. We could definitely have a drink at 6, couldn't we? Definitely have a drink at 6. I drink every night.
I know. I have exactly
every night.
I have exactly the same response. And the hilarious thing is that I only drink lager, right? Like, you know, it's quite cheap beer. When I go for my one weekly trip to the supermarket, because it's me who has to do the shopping, I go and, of course, by the time I get there, everything's sold out pretty much. So I flog around getting what I can. But then I go to the lager or the beer, you know, section. And I swear to God, the only beer that's not sold out is Corona. I mean, it's just, it's hilarious.
God.
People are not buying Corona lager. So I've got a fridge full of Corona lager.
Irony. It's like a sitcom, isn't it?
I mean, it genuinely is. I don't know if anybody else has found that. But to go back more seriously to your question about coping strategies, because last week I had a really bad week. So the first, are we in week four of lockdown? I think we are. Are we in week four?
I feel like week three. I think it's wishful thinking to say week four. I think this is the third week. Is this the third week? I think there was a week where we sort of locked ourselves down and it wasn't official. We were like asked.
Okay.
Audience who are watching, does anyone remember when lockdown... when the full quarantine happened? Just tell us.
See, time has gone all gooey and melty. It's gone like those, you know, Salvador Dali pictures, cloths have melted on the backs of horses. You know, those Dali pictures. I'm definitely finding that my relationship to time is quite strange. And that's probably because we have to create structures and things. But to go back to coping mechanisms, I had a bad week last week. I seemed to just go under. And I thought, I'm not proud of myself at all. I was hoping to be one of these sort of really optimistic, you know, vigorous, lively, upbeat people who got through Corona time and positively. But I just sank last week. And suddenly, I think it was the first couple of weeks, we were all sort of adrenalized in a way, weren't we? Oh, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. God, we're in a war zone. You know, this is like World War II. This is like we're all in our bunkers. And we're all sort of, it was kind of quite, it was frightening, but it was also, and there were awful things coming in on the news, but it was also quite adrenalized. And we were all kind of excited and adapting and getting in touch with each other. And all the humor was pouring out onto fantastically funny videos and all that. And then last week, I don't know about you, but it just all sort of started settling into the new normal. And then I suddenly got a lot of grief about the show that I was about to open in the West End. And I suddenly thought, we may never do that again. And I love the company so much, really love them. And I love the play, and it had a lot to say about now. And I was so I suddenly felt a bit of grief about that, a bit worried about money because we're not being paid, and then missing my kids, because we're not all, our kids are in different parts of the country. You know, one's an NHS worker in the hospital, so I'm very proud of her. One's stuck at home in London in quarantine because he was traveling. So one's a care worker, but we're all in different places. So all those sort of sadnesses started creeping in, and I really went a bit under. But this week I think I'm back, sort of, you know, got to grips with myself, and I'm reminding myself all the time how incredibly lucky you are if you A, have a home, and B, if you have access to the outside like we do, then you're just so lucky. You just better shut up and not complain about anything, really.
I think it's important though to acknowledge what's happening, because it's so Steve Ali, who you know, who's my sort of family member, Syrian refugee who lives with us, who's in the country, wrote this amazing article for the British GQ, which I sent you, didn't I?
Yes.
About, and we do need to process it and not just go, oh, I'm fine, because we are relatively lucky. You know, I've got a flat that, you know, I mean, the bank owns most of it, to be honest, but they've given us a short mortgage break. We'll see how we go. You know, I, and you know, you say you're in the country and therefore you can kind of walk around outside or whatever. Yes, there are luckinesses, but this is also a trauma, and we need to acknowledge that it is a trauma. And Steve always says this, he always says, just because your trauma isn't as traumatic as somebody else's trauma doesn't mean it's not trauma. You could say that about a refugee who's in Calais in a tent in most miserable circumstances. You could say, well, you're not in Syria in the middle of a war zone. You know, it's not very useful. Yeah, it's not very useful. We need to just acknowledge it. The most popular question on this show that we do is, have you had a really low moment? Which I think you've answered, because people are live streaming themselves, you know, having fun and doing puppet shadow, you know, shows and doing funny things with beer cans, but they're not live streaming their worst moments. Yeah. Of course, we're human, we don't do that. And it's really helped people when we've talked honestly about saying, oh no, I just suddenly started crying and I didn't know why. Or
I mean, I actually, okay, I mean, if I'm really honest, last week I went really under and I cried a lot every single day. And actually, it was when you rang me Thursday and we talked about doing this together and we had that talk and you said it's a bit like really, really bad, you know, PMT. It's like, it's really like serious hormonal upset. And I thought, God, yes, because I keep crying. I don't know why. I'm getting angry and irritable. I don't know why, which is like a sort of really bad version of PMT. But I think it is. It's probably true for all of us that there are things, you know, we know on the one hand, we know that we've got to pull together. We've got to do this properly. We've got to be strong. We've got to sort ourselves out. We've got to make good use of our time. We've got to, you know, we've got to do all those things. And we maybe even enjoy that challenge. But there are real sadnesses. I mean, we're all probably missing our friends and our family. I'm missing my kids to bits and my mates. And our energies are all different. You know, what do you do with all that just physical energy? If you cooped in a whole lot of four-year-old boys in a room or kids in a room, you know, they'd go crazy. You have to let them out. But it's the same, a little bit the same for adults too. We need that outgoing energy and we do need to be dancing or laughing or running along a pavement or in a pub. And when you're not, that energy has to go somewhere. And I think sometimes it just sort of goes inward and stuff. So I think last week was a low point. But various things, one thing I've discovered is a coping thing, is when I wake up in the morning and I feel, oh shit, here we are in this situation. It's a bad moment waking up, and it may be for lots of people. You know, oh, God, here we go. I've got to make my day work. I've got to. So I signed up a thing called poem.org. I signed up to various things that would just arrive in my inbox every morning. Although I didn't want to get too stuck on screens first thing, but it is really lovely. So every morning I wake up, before I start thinking and getting sad, I reach for the phone, and in comes, bing, a poem. From a poemaday.org. And it can be funny, or it can be beautiful, or it could be. So immediately my brain goes to that and doesn't go into, you know, the crisis and the situation and the news and all the grim stuff. And so that's been lovely. And then I try and get outside, you know, into the garden. I mean, I say that knowing that lots of people haven't got gardens, but getting under the sky is good.
Yes, exactly. Even we've got a little terrace outside, but we've got a window upstairs in that where the sun comes in, and just being under the window where the sun comes in changes my mental state, as opposed to being in a darker room. There's just so many small things that you realise you can do when you're inside all the time that change your mental state. And I think I'm just becoming much more aware of what does change my mental state, what does change my emotional state. What I can do, what matters to me, what I've lost that I didn't even know mattered to me, that now is blindingly obvious that it matters to me.
Yeah.
And we have to look for silver linings in a very, very bad situation, and not to make a global tragedy about my first world revelations, but we're human beings. We look for silver linings, and I think, and we must do. It's important that we do. And I do think this recalibration, this rebooting that we're getting to do, is a silver lining. That we are looking. So we're stopping. We're going, oh, I really appreciated that now, but I didn't at the time. I wasn't actively appreciating it. I was subconsciously appreciating it. Next time I have it, I will actively appreciate it.
Yeah.
So as you say, we're not going to go back. We're going to go on, and things will change.
Yeah, so much. I totally agree. And I don't know. Again, I'd love to know if anybody watching this feels the same. But I find that, you know, if there are friends or family that habitually I felt a bit pissed off with, or haven't been in touch with for a while because something they said or did, you know, recently pissed me off, or they're generally there, all that seems to have melted away. I find myself wanting to be in touch with people. I don't care if sometimes I irritate them or they me. What's important is that we are friends or we're family. So I absolutely agree. I think there's a sort of sense of emerges without even you're having to think about it, of what's important and what isn't. And realizing that so much of your normal day in ordinary times is spent trying to prioritize stuff. So what's more important? Is it more important that I write this email, or that I ring a friend, or that I do some work, or that I clean the house, or constantly trying to work out, you know, what the priorities are for any one moment in a day and what really matters? And that takes up a lot of energy. Whereas now, those things seem to be clear to me, you know. Like, it really doesn't matter what I look like. It really doesn't matter if I don't wash my hair. It doesn't matter what clothes I, you know, who gives a toss? So all that stuff.
Having said that, you are looking really glamorous today, and it's a bit annoying.
I wasn't until 20 minutes ago when you rang and said, have you, you know, we're on Instagram Live, and I went running, screaming to the bathroom and slapped on some makeup.
You Well, it's worked well. You look fantastic.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Is there anything that surprised you about yourself and your reaction to this or the wider world? Is there anything, like I was saying the other day, that it surprised me that Londoners have become patient and we're all just happy to stand and queue outside a supermarket like we're in Soviet Russia? And I am surprised at my ability to stay indoors and actually enjoy a routine. Like I've never been a routined person. And now my routine's all I've got, so I'm really routined. Is there anything that has surprised you about yourself or the world?
That's a great question. I think similarly, I am absolutely amazed at the patience that people have learnt, which they would not have had even a month ago, that they have learned. So which takes me to my main surprise thing, which I think is that the speed with which human beings adapt. I mean, the adaptation that's taken place is phenomenal. I mean, 2 months ago, we wouldn't have recognised what we're talking about. You know, this year, you know, 2020 hasn't been going very long. If you think back to New Year and, you know, ushering in the New Year and thinking, would we have believed?
No. I was on tour in America. With huge theatres, Julia. I was playing in February. I played Wellington Arena. No, and we talked about COVID on the night. It was like people on a cruise ship. It came up, it was referenced.
Yes, exactly.
And it was like, oh, one of those things that happen on cruise ships. And
the speed with which we have accepted the situation and done what we're told and gone into this completely different kind of world, the whole world is ground to a halt. That's what I can't get over. And we're now in a state where we accept that and we're dealing with it. I mean, it's kind of exhilarating to see how quickly human beings that have adapted or can adapt. And maybe that's why we've survived as a species, because we can adapt that quickly to a completely different way of being. But it's also alarming when you think that we're constantly now obeying orders without really questioning them. And that we have to do to keep safe and keep each other safe and be socially responsible. But it's also quite alarming. You think, at what point do we stop saying, you know, how quickly you can get a whole nation of people to obey orders? I mean, politically, that's also kind of just by scaring them. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing what we're told now. Of course we should, because we have to protect each other and keep safe and not be spreading this disease at all where we can. But it is just objectively interesting to see how a whole nation of people can be suddenly reduced to a group of people who do what more or less all what they killed.
It's fascinating to me.
Who would have thought you could have achieved that?
How quickly we will just absolutely, it scares me for what else governments could do to sort of say, right, you've all got to go indoors because of this. But I know that we're doing the right thing now. I think where does this go? Now governments have proven they can do this. They can just block, like in Australia, the borders are blocked. So my sister can't get to my mum. And that's that. Like what if they just decided not to reopen that border? Of course they won't. They care about money more than they care about anything, even power. So they will want to open it up as soon as they can because they need money to be made again. for the economy. So this is not scaremongering. It's just more, as you say, that principle of, oh, we will just stay inside and accept the fact that legally we're only allowed out once a day. It's a bit scary.
No, I mean, obviously, I absolutely agree. What we're being told is exactly the right thing to do. And in fact, we should have been told to do this earlier. But
we should have.
But it is extraordinary. And you think, well, what's going to happen? What is the exit from this? I mean, that's what I'm also a little worried about. Where does this exit? I mean, at what point can we go back? I suppose I'm saying this because my other half, my beloved husband, is, you know, is very immunocompromised. And so I'm thinking, when will it be safe for him to go back? Mm. And when will we be able to walk? And when will we be able to, you know, do my job again and work? And but when will
I know. Well, both of our jobs is dependent on people. We're both dependent on getting people into a room, or we can't do our job. I mean, you can make television, but even then, it's got to be a film set, and that's got millions of people on it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Have you got any routine? Is there anything that you say? You told us about your poetry. You do poetry in the morning. Is there anything else you do to mark your day to say, oh, time's passed, or mark your week?
Yeah. So I did write up a schedule, which I stuck on the wall in different colour felt tips. I find myself becoming like my own primary school teacher.
So that's a great one for the T-shirt. There's the merch store make a T-shirt based on something the guest has said every day. And then that money can go to you as an artist, or you can divert it to another artist who's struggling to pay the rent.
Oh, no. So, I'd love that. So I have become my own primary school teacher. Have you?
Amazing. That T-shirt will sell very well.
Excellent. I hope people know what I mean, because what that means is that I'm writing more and more.
It's in the context of quarantine. The T-shirt will clearly be quarantined. That's fantastic. Hannah from the merch store. That's the one. I've become my own primary school teacher. So you've got all your coloured...
So I've got ridiculous. I sit up late at night making these charts, and I've sent them to my mum. I've sent them to various family members as well. So I really am. I'm not a primary school teacher to my family, which is probably driving them nuts. They probably tear them up. They tear them up when they arrive in the good old post, which I'm also appreciating, which is the old school mail. But no, because I write these things on the wall. I write, you know, get up.
Right.
I have to tell myself to do that, right?
Put clothes on.
By X, you know, 9. So then I wrote a chart in pink, you know, 9 to 11, emails and admin, 11 to 1. So I have tried to, you know, then I'm allowed to go out. So I get all the emails and all the admin done in the morning, and all the fundraising, all the charity stuff that I like to do. But I'm probably best at that time in the morning. And then I supposedly go out in the garden and garden like mad, which is what I've also been doing. So we dug a big veg patch in our garden.
Nice.
We're growing loads and stuff, and I keep digging more beds out of the lawn, so there won't be much lawn left soon. I think that's just because it's the only thing nearly creative that I can do at the moment, is just make the garden really beautiful. So that's sort of 2 till 5, and then what do I do? So I have got this sort of schedule, but I have to, you know, I have to give myself detentions. I have to give myself rewards and detentions for either sticking to it or breaking it, or I haven't been always very good about sticking to it.
Well, it sounds almost kinky.
It probably is. Hugh's coming to the room now, and he has no idea what I'm talking about.
That's the best answer we've had, is I am my own primary school teacher. Do you have any books you've been reading, or shows you've been watching, anything you can recommend for us if we're sort of in the void looking for something good?
I haven't been watching any shows, and I've got a whole pile of things that I meant to watch. Everybody says that Tiger King is brilliant, so that's sort of first on the list. But I'm not a great one for watching stuff. There's another great website. I've been listening to podcasts, and there's a really great website called Culture Whisper.
Mm.
Do you know about that one?
So you sign up for Culture
Whisper. It's free. And but you sign up to it, and it's just got real of all the stuff coming at us online, people sending out ideas and things to do and all that. It just seems to be one of the good ones. If you check it out, it just has it. In normal times, it tells you what's coming up in the arts, or up in music or art or theatre, cinema, documentary, you know, across the arts, what's happening, and really great interviews and things with people and what is down the line. So you often get to hear about things early. But now it's really doing a great job of sort of magazine for COVID-19. So just great, great articles, great things you might want to think about.
We'll make a little story of that, Juliet, afterwards, so people can find it. So it's Culture Whisper. Culture Whisper. And the other one was Poem. Is it poem.org?
It's Poem A Day.
Poem A Day.
Poem-a-day.org, I think it is. Poem A Day.org. I think it comes from the States. It's an American website, but it's fantastic poems. Some you know, some you don't. Some come from like 16th century. Some were written last week. Wow. They're a real mix.
Okay, we'll make stories of that so people can sign up for them. Is there a piece of online feminism you'd like us to do? So every day people come to the New Normal to look for one thing they can do, either amplify, donate to, sign a petition for. What have you got going on at the moment that we can help you with?
Oh my goodness. Okay, well
quite a lot.
What I'm doing is my, you know, the usual thing, which I've been doing for like 4 or 5 years, which is the refugee stuff. So I'm working for both places like Young Roots, which is, I'm a patron of various charities. One is Young Roots, which is young asylum seekers and refugees between the age of about 14 and 25 years old. It's based in Croydon. It's run by a brilliant woman who is a friend of mine. And these are kids who are really, really at the sort of front line of adversity. I mean, they have no homes, mostly. They're mostly homeless, destitute, some of them literally hungry. So trying to keep, I've often gone to visit their base in Croydon, and they're also in North London. So I've been supporting Young Roots, if anybody wants to check those out. But as a feminist, if you're talking about, and also Safe Passage, which is concerned with children refugees and getting children over here who should be here. So for example, there are many children refugees who the British government had given the okay to come to this country because they had a relative here who they were legally entitled to be with, or because they were on the Dubs list, the very vulnerable kids, and they should have been here. And then COVID-19 happened, so they're stuck in refugee camp. So if anybody wants to get involved in that, which is a really, really crucial campaign, because these are kids and their lives are, you know, they fled their countries because their parents thought it was safer to put them on a boat than it would be to stay at home on the land.
Yeah. Well, that's when you're almost assured to die in your own country. You're probably going to die in your own country. That's the only reason you leave, because you think, well, we've got nothing to lose. We might as well go.
Those kids are not only in that horrendous situation of being alone, many of them unaccompanied, but they are also, you know, they've got all this COVID-19, this terror on top of that, and they have nowhere to be safe in, and they certainly don't have access to running water or forget hand sanitizer. I mean, these are conditions, as we know, in the camp. So Safe Passage is another, but the thing that I've been really concerned about from the beginning as well, and I'll shut up in a minute, but
this is your space.
Well, when lockdown was announced, I don't know, I immediately thought, well, of course we have to do that. That makes complete sense. But I suddenly thought, but what about all those families, all those marriages, all those partnership situations where people are really not happy with each other? You know, what's it mean when you can't go out to the pub, you can't meet your mates, you can't see, if you're a woman, you can't go out and meet your girlfriends or get out, or you're not at work.
Go and see your mum, that lifeline, she can sort of, or your sister who says, is everything okay? All of that's gone.
All those structures which make life just about manageable. And without those, what are people going to do? And kids are under your feet all day. And those children stuck in, you know, possibly violent households. Well, we now know that there has been a massive, massive problem. Mm. 16 women have lost their lives since lockdown began. Women have been killed in domestic violence. And I don't know whether the news has covered that, but I have been, you know, there is a big petition going around about this to try and encourage, well, really, really urge the government to make hotels that are standing empty into women's refuges. Women's refuges, so there are places for women to go, because those refugees have closed down and they are somehow made manageable in terms of, you know, health, safety, COVID-19 and all that. But there have to be places women can get out to, because 16 women in less than a month is
Can you send me that petition as well, and we'll put a story up of that and we'll do one where they can swipe up to sign it. Did you see Priti Patel announced that if you dial 999 and then dial 55, they will know you don't have to speak because you might be dangerous to speak. That turns out to be not true. And the Home Secretary announced that publicly in a speech. It's not true. What you've got to do, all the emergency services have corrected it, but we need to get the message out there. What you need to do is dial 999, wait till someone answers, listen for the cues. When they ask you questions, if you press 55, that means I can't speak, please send somebody, and then they will find you. But if you just go 99955 and hang up, no, they'll just think it's a misdial. So our Home Secretary, who normally is so amazing, so it's a Surprising that she wasn't as good on this, because she's so brilliant with vulnerable people. Heavy irony, in case anyone's going to write to me and say, no, she isn't. We'll make stories of all of those things. They were brilliant, Julia,
good.
All really important ones. Anything in your house you want to show us? Any pets or relics or costumes or anything you can show us inside the keyhole?
I could show you my, there's Hugh. He's just come in from the garden. Here's my dog, Millie.
Hello, Hugh.
Millie.
Oh, Millie. Oh, Millie makes everything better.
This is Deborah. This is Deborah and everybody.
Hello, Millie.
Oh.
Millie Lou. Sorry, this is pretty cool.
Oh,
I'm very bad. Yeah, Millie, say hello. Sit down. Sit, Millie.
Best.
She is really ever. Loving. Oh, well done, sweetie.
Oh, you look really sad about. That's what I want to point out.
That's you. That's
hello,
my
Hugh.
Hello.
What did Hugh point out?
He wants to point out that my great love is actually my dog and not him.
Oh, I see. Rather than Hugh. Yeah. There's a hierarchy.
I mean, it's not anybody. It's not the children. And I imagine it's not even you. It is the dog.
So. Wow.
No, we're getting on. We're getting on so well. It's done
well. We are learning so much about people in their own homes in this quarantine. I mean, we've seen Madonna in the bath with her... all of her roses. Now we've seen Juliet Stevenson and we understand the true hierarchy of her love, which starts with her dog.
Can I show? Okay, I've got one more thing to show you. I'm going to show you. This is my, you know, I said I was being a primary school. Here is one of my charts. Can you see my chart?
Pull it down a little bit. Put the phone down a little bit. There we go. Yes, we can.
Right.
Daily schedule. I can see lunch is scheduled in.
No phone between 2 and 4. Well, I'm breaking that, obviously. Yeah, so there you go.
This is 6:30. You've not broken that.
Filming, 6 p.m. filming and calls. There we go. Yeah.
And finally, can I ask, are there any habits that you've developed now that you think, I might take that through? Apart from the drinking, is there anything that you think, actually, I might just do some more meetings by FaceTime and I might not run out to every single one anymore? Or actually, I might keep my schedule, my primary school teacher schedule up. Is there anything you might do beyond this?
Well, do you know what?
I'm
setting up a sound studio here because I need to work. So I need to do things like audiobooks, which I love to do anyway. And I need to work. I need to try and earn something. That's all I can do in the way of earning. So I have been really scared of technology and everything to do with, you know, anything with sound systems or computer systems. I mean, I'm really, really a bit of a dinosaur. The thing I've really enjoyed is thinking, okay, I can't afford to be ignorant about that. And I can't afford to be scared of it. I'm going to stop running away from technology, turn around, face it and learn it. It can't be that complicated. It can't be such a mystery. I've got a brain. I'm going to face this. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and tackle it. And I am on the way to setting up this sound studio. I'm really getting interested in the difference between one microphone and another microphone.
Nice.
And so the feeling, I think the habit that I'm quite enjoying is that actually, if you stop running from something that you've run from all your life, and just turn around and say, hang on, I don't need to run from this. I'm going to turn around, look at it and say, no, I think I can handle this because I have to. You know, it's expedient. I absolutely have to in order to work. So, but actually in having to, you discover,
it's not that hard. Yeah.
In my head, you know.
I'm quite good at this. Yeah. That's absolutely what Steve says about how adaptable we are. In the British GQ article, he says, we're just human beings are so adaptable and we just go, okay, well, this is what we're dealing with now. We get used to it. And in fact, we find good things in it.
Yeah.
And finally, if quarantine was over now, what's the first thing you do? What are you desperate to do that you can't do in quarantine?
Go and see my children and hug them.
Oh, that's so lovely. Oh,
but I'd jump in the car and go and see my kids.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And my little grandchild, my little grandson. Oh.
It's going to be so great.
I'm going to cry now. I do cry when I, I mean, listen, you know.
Everyone cries on the show. We've had so much crying. There's a montage of crying.
They're safe and they're healthy and we're so privileged and lucky. And I'm really proud. My daughter's working in a sort of low level nurse at King's Hospital in Streatham in Denmark Hill. And she's really at the front line. And so I'm really, really proud of what she's doing. And then the oldest one is a care worker. He looks after a disabled man. So I'm really proud of what they're doing. So I'm not, you know, I don't cry much, but I like everybody in this country, like everybody watching now, I'm sure they're missing family and friends. And so, yeah, that'd be the first thing I would do.
Juliet, it has been so magnificent to have you on the show. It really has. And you have made us think about this in different ways. And you've taken us to different places. I've really, really loved it. And your T-shirt is—it's only on demand, so they won't be wasted. But if anyone buys them, the money we'll just send you the money, and it'll go to you to help you with. We're all not earning, so that's the idea of it.
It'll go straight to the refugee charities. It'll go straight to Safe Passage and Young Roots. And
bless probably, you.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you buy Juliet's T-shirt, which says "I'm my own primary school teacher," it's going to be very popular, and then it says your name and it says stay at home in the new normal. If you buy Juliet's T-shirt, the profits will go to Juliet and she's going to pay that forward to her amazing refugee charities. Tomorrow we have Sophie Duker on the show. Next week we have Scarlett Curtis, Yasmin Abdel-Majid and various other people who I can't remember now but are brilliant. Juliet, is there anything else you'd like to plug? We'll make stories of all the things you said so people can click through to them. Is there anything else you'd like to plug or do?
So it's Young Roots is the young people's asylum seeking young people's charity, Young Roots. If you look that
Young
up,
Roots, like Safe young, Passage.
Safe Passage. And in my local borough, there's an Islington Crisis Fund. Anybody who lives in Islington, I don't mean the posh bit of Islington, I mean the whole borough, which is, I think, London borough, one of the biggest London boroughs, and actually one of the poorest. We think sort of posh bits of Islington, but actually across the whole, if anybody listening lives in Islington, there's an Islington Crisis Fund, which if you donate to is going to get money fast to people and individuals and organisations or small businesses that really, really need it, including food banks. And so that's just a bit of local chat for anybody.
Wonderful.
But basically, thanks so much for letting me plug those things.
Oh, it's been absolutely magnificent. And I just want to say, we're going to do, I'm not sure when, but over the next couple of days, we're going to do an extra new normal because with some Polish abortion activists, because Poland are using this time when women cannot come out into the street to protest to bring in even more draconian abortion laws than they've got at the moment. Last time they did this, everyone protested and they couldn't bring it through. And this time they're using COVID. Isn't that disgusting? They're using COVID because people can't protest. And they, of course, they're finding ways. They hacked the president's Instagram account. They've done incredible things. So if we could all support them, I've been making stories and re-amplifying them. We will have a special episode. We'll do something on The Guilty Feminist about it as well. But if everyone could support them and just say, we see you, we amplify this, Amnesty International, we do something about it. Juliet and I are both Amnesty ambassadors. Yeah. So join Amnesty. They'll direct you to the right petitions, because the more the Polish government know they're being watched and they're being judged by the rest of the world, the less likely they will push this through. So please, please, please get behind it. Join Amnesty if you can. That's how I know Juliet, through Amnesty. Is that how I know you? No, I know you through your daughter.
No, we met when we did that gig it wasn't Amnesty. It was for 80 years of the women's suffrage movement.
And
we did a gig in the evening.
That's right. I met your daughter Rosalind, who's now brilliantly working for the NHS as well. Yeah. And she introduced us, and then Amnesty around the same time. So if you could all join Amnesty in whatever country you're in, just join Amnesty and they will direct you to things. And if you just, if you've got any money at all that you would have spent down the pub, but now you can't go down the pub, if you can donate that to Amnesty, and if you've got no money, can you just follow and retweet, I don't think it costs to join Amnesty, and amplify and sign the petitions, because it really does work and it does change and it does matter. Thank you so much, Juliet. You are, as ever, a huge inspiration, and I look forward to talking to you soon without an audience as well. It's going to be such a popular episode. Bye. Love you lots.
Thanks so much. Bye. I've had such fun. Bye-bye, everybody. Good luck.
Bye.
Good luck. Lots of love. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.